So if you're with us for the first time today, we welcome you. If you're online visiting with us today, good to have you here. We've been in a series called The Balanced Life. And my heart and passion for you in 2025 was to not get knocked off balance. We know that things can come our way. In fact, things will come your way. I can guarantee it throughout 2025 that'll go, whoa, didn't see that one coming. And it can sometimes knock us off balance. It can knock us off balance for our identity. We begin to shift in a different direction, or someone says something to us, we begin to question who we are, what we stand for. We can get knocked off balance in the people that we're surrounded with, to whether they're healthy for us or not healthy for us. And we can even get knocked off balance as to what are we called to do? You know, is it about me? Is it about God? Is there something particular God wants me to do? How does he want me to live? All these things are real in our lives. What we want you to do in 2025 is to be able to stand solid and firm. So we've been talking about this balanced life. You'll put that triangle up for me, for those of you who are new. You'll see in this balanced life, we're talking about three ways that God outlines in the scriptures for us to stand securely with him. Well, in week one, we talked about this passionate spirituality. How do we live in a relationship with God? And how we live in our relationship with God affects everything else, okay? It's the top of the pyramid, all right? It's where we want to be. We want to invest in our God. How we understand ourselves with God affects how we live in relationship with others. We cannot have or live in relationships that are healthy unless we have a healthy relationship with God. We will use those relationships for our purpose, and it'll affect our marriages and everything else, our business, all those kind of things we do, unless we understand what our identity is in God. So you'll see that arrow coming down into life of community. So first thing we were talking about is we really need to be rock solid in our identity with God. So if you missed that message, go back, take a look at it. There's study notes always for you to dive deeper. The second week, we dove into this radical community. We called it radical because it doesn't look like any other community you'll have in your world. We all have lots of communities, but what I've challenged you to in 2025 is to find this radical Christian community. The very first thing Jesus did when he came out of the wilderness was in talking to God, just passionate spirituality, being with God, fasting and growing with God, was to create this disciple community, what we called radical community, is locking arms. Today, we have our community group sign up. 3 times a year, we sign up for community groups. More and more people get connected because we need to lock arms. So when things come our way, when decisions come our way, when differences of opinion come our way, when health, whatever shifts and happen in jobs, we're locked arms with people that help us stand up, okay? If we don't have that, we're going to fall. Listen, you might say, me and God have a good thing going on. That really does not exist. Okay, if you think your relationship with God is just about your relationship with God, you're missing the point of Jesus Christ coming on the face of the earth. Okay, this is what God came to show us. It's not just about our relationship with him. It's about our relationship with Jesus Christ and his people called the church. Okay, third piece we want to look at today is how it flows out. When our relationship with God is strong, week one, and we're locked arms in Christian community, we're then in a place to understand and live out a positive missional out. Okay, we begin to understand what it looks like on the wall to discover a purpose and make a difference in the world. That when you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are part of what the Bible calls a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. You're on mission for God. You're not like everybody else. You're not like people that don't know God. You've been called for a divine purpose. You are a people that live in the world, just like me, but you're not of the world, right? You're a different kingdom agenda. When we pray in the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done, we're already saying we're not like everybody else. So we don't want to act like everybody else. We don't want to be everybody else. We have a missional objective that is empowered by our relationship with God, strengthened by our relationship with one another, that we live it out. Those are critical pieces to be able to walk through God with God in 2025. So I want you to hold those, keep studying them. Those notes are there for you all week. I know when you get into the end of February, you'll have forgotten all about this. So I want you to hold on to them so that you can remember, I want to walk balance. Every single day, I want to deal with this. Every single day, I want time with God. Every single day, I want to refresh my Christian community that surrounds me, because up on this stage, I can't give to you if I'm not locked arm with other Christians that are helping me walk. I'll fall out real quick. And third is, I want to live in the sweet place that God wants me with a missional out. That's where I want to dive in today, the last piece in this. What is a missional out? What does it look like? How do we live it out in a way? So a couple words I want you to understand. One is missional. So if I'm going to define missional, I look at it like this. Engaging the world the same way Jesus did. By going out rather than just reaching out. Okay? Jesus didn't just do something and go back to his life. Jesus lived a missional life. We don't just come to church, give a moment to praise God, and go back to our life. We live a life praising God. We don't just do something for someone, check the box, and move back. We go out. We live for him. It is who we are. Okay? That's what a missional out means. I use that word in this missional zeal. We want to be in a missional zeal. Zeal is not a word that we use very often. Mission is. Almost every corporation in America, and even families, have a mission statement. It says what you're about. Your mission statement as a Christian is living what Jesus is about, okay? And you begin to define that uniquely for you and uniquely for me. Zeal is a great word. It's not used much in our culture, but this is what it means. It means great energy or enthusiasm in pursuit of a cause or an objective. Okay, so know that great energy, enthusiasm in pursuit. So we want to live in great energy, enthusiasm in pursuit of the Christian mission that God has called us to be in the world. Again, that's empowered by our relationship with God, passion, spirituality. It's empowered and strengthened by the relationship we have with one another, keeps us moving forward, and then we begin to see the fruit of that in amazing ways. Now, what I long for each of you to see, and I'd love to get your stories, email me, let me know. I want you to see miracles, okay? People often ask, you know, in the Bible, I got to see miracles. We're wondering, well, I don't see miracles today. Why don't I see miracles? Miracles are a movement of faith, all right? A miracle, by its mere definition, means you can't do it, all right? If you can do it, it's not a miracle, right? If it's within my power, my ability, it's not a miracle. A miracle means it's unexplainable move of God. This shows up in a way that I could not have done. It takes a step of faith to have a miracle. So miracles happen in the missional out, okay? They happen in the missional out. If you want to be, when Jesus did the commission, go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, and I'll be with you to the end of the age. Listen, where's Jesus going to be with you? When you're out doing mission, right? He is on that edge of mission. That's where he promised, I'll be with you always. That's where the miraculous happens. And when we put our faith in God to live for him beyond our own strength, ability, understanding, resource, service, all those things, we begin to step into that zone of miracle. We begin to live in a place of faith by which God, if I offer him what I have, will do far more than I can think or imagine. Again, biblical. We've taught about it, okay? What I want you to be able to see is those miracles. I want you to see those places that you show up and go, whoa, God moved well beyond what I thought or imagined. Sometimes you even see it in wisdom or counseling. You might be seeking God. God, you promised me wisdom. You promised to give me the fruit of your spirit, to give me an understanding that I don't understand, that I can't begin. And then you're in conversation with somebody, and you're listening to them, and you're asking God while you're listening to them, God, help me to understand this. Help me to offer them what you would want them to know. And then all of a sudden, something comes out of your mouth, and you share with them. You go, well, where'd that come from? Whoa, you know, that was wisdom beyond anything. That's because that's the move of God. That's where you begin to see, in small ways and in big ways, miraculous moves, okay? So what does missional out look like? If we're put it in a big picture, I might define it like this. Missional out is life being lived for others' benefits, not your own. Life being lived for others' benefits, not your own. Now, is that a little radical? Our world's not teaching us that, right? It's not teaching us that. We live in a society, in a culture, that's me first, okay? So automatically, we're already in conflict, you know, internally. You know, I got to take care of me, then I can take care of you, okay? That's not what God's saying. In fact, we can often live in a little bit of fear. You know, if I don't get my stuff taken care of, I don't know if I'm going to get it done. So God, how can I give you this time, or how can I give you this resource? What we tend to think about, our culture tells us there's a theology. That means there's an understanding of God that leads to your scarcity. And if you follow God, you're going to have less. So you take care of you and then give God your bidding, okay? He gets your leftovers. But that's not biblical. It's not who God is, right? God says, pour out and I'll pour in. It's a theology of abundance, okay? God will not leave you in lack because you're following him. You have to go back to the triangle. If I am wrestling with whether I believe God is good, I need to go sit at his feet more. I need to grow in his passion of spirituality, and I need to lock arms with other Christians who show it's true, right? They're walking with the Lord. They're showing me. They're allowing me to take that step in faith because they have done it, and they see it, and they're helping me make that step in faith. That's why we need each other, because we want to be in that place of the miraculous, okay? It's different from our world. But we're different from the world. We're not of it, right? We're living for God in it. That's the passion. Your kingdom come, your will be done. So what does it look like? Sometimes it's easy to take a missional out and make a list of boxes I want to check. Today when I get up, I want to help this person. I get to end the day. Did I do my missional out or not? Let me do an analysis of that and see if I did okay. That's not what we're talking about, okay? Remember, missional out follows a pattern. A deep love and relationship with God. My identity is secure in him and who he is for me. My relationship with one another, with the people of God, that are helping me understand how I live missionally for God. Literally, a missional out is like a fruit. When something is healthy, it bears fruit. When your Christian life is solidly connected in with God and with one another, it will bear fruit. That's your missional out. Okay, it'll bear fruit. So what does that look like? In the scriptures, it's probably best shared in story more than it is in checking a box. Because I'm not going to sit here and tell you, you need to go do this, this, and this to be good missional out. But Jesus did share many stories. So what might it look like? One is it might look like the story shared of the Good Samaritan. That's recorded in Luke chapter 10. I also put it in your note outlines for your study. It's kind of like showing mercy to people. So what? Maybe you're familiar with some of that story, maybe you're not. But Jesus shared a little bit about to some people who were wrestling with this missional out. In fact, this was a lawyer, not a corporate lawyer, someone we might think about today. He was a religious lawyer. And to be a religious lawyer, what he was doing, he was looking at all the things that God said for us to do in the Old Testament. And then he wanted to discern, well, I can't do all those. So he comes to Jesus and says, well, which of them should I do in order to get eternal life? It's kind of like works righteousness, right? If I do the right things, I'll get to heaven. That never works. That's not how you get to heaven. You get to heaven because you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But he really wanted to serve God. So he asked, and Jesus says, well, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbors yourself. And then he seems to think about, well, how do I check the neighbor box? Is my neighbor good? Is my neighbor bad? Is my neighbor the guy I like, the guy I don't like? And Jesus is going, this guy is so confused. He's just wanting to check all these boxes. Let me tell you about the heart. So he says, there was a man who's walking down from Jerusalem to Jericho. If you've ever been to Israel, Jerusalem is about 2,000 feet elevation above Jericho. So there's a long path down, roughly 40 miles, that are on this pathway that they would walk between those two cities. And there's canyons and things along the way. Pretty rough journey. There's a man walking, and he gets robbed and beaten and left by the road to die. Along the way comes a priest. He's in the temple in Jerusalem. He's walking down toward Jericho, away from the temple, and he sees the man beside the road, and he walks around the other side and goes on. He says another man is a Levite. He comes, he sees the man, he's beaten. He doesn't know if he's alive or dead. He walks around the other side, and he goes on. Another man comes. It's a Samaritan walking on his road, and a Samaritan comes, and he sees the man, and immediately something happens to his heart. He says, I got to take care of this guy. So he literally rips his own clothes to make bandages. It cost him his own garments. He wraps him up. It cost him his donkey. He puts the man on the donkey, and he proceeds to walk in this rough terrain to the next place that he can put the guy. When he puts the guy there, he stays there in this hotel, not like a hotel we think about, a place to stay. He asks the village people, would you take care of him? They bandage him up. They feed him. They take care of him. Finally, the guy's got to get on. Like, he's got stuff to do. He's not like on the road just to be hanging out. He had projects to take care of. He had a business to take care of. He says, I need to go now, but I'm coming back by this road. If there's any other expenses, I'll pay them on the way back. Well, the man's listening to all this. His lawyer's listening to all this. And he said, and Jesus simply asked one thing. Who showed him mercy? And a man said, the Samaritan. Now, Jesus wasn't trying to beat up the church. He wasn't trying to beat up religious people to say, oh, the priests and the Levite, they were bad, the Samaritan's good. There was a lot of things going on here. One, the priests are also Levites. The priests were from the lineage of Aaron, the great high priest in the Old Testament. But they were all Levites. A Levite is a classification of people in the ancient Israelite system that were called to take care of the spiritual nurture of the church. Okay? It would be like the church staff today, right? You had a pastor, then you got a custodian, you got children's ministry director, you got musicians, you got all these people. That's the Levite's role. In fact, the whole nation of the Israelites in that day funded, just like you gave an offering, we heard an offering report, they funded the work of the Levites and the priest because what they believed was really important. If the spiritual nature of people's lives wasn't attended to, things wouldn't go well. We still know that today, right? So it took an investment, and it was the nation's investment among these people. What was surprising is they were very dedicated to it in duty, but not in mercy. And Jesus was trying to teach that when it comes to living a missional out, this isn't a matter of what boxes you check. It's a matter of the condition of your heart in relationship with God. The Samaritan, whom they didn't like, because they were from the northern kingdom of Israel, they were kind of like half-breeds. They'd intermarried with other people. Jewish people didn't like them very much. Here's somebody they didn't like very much. They had a relationship with God that had mercy. So do you want to know what missional out looks like? It looks like a heart of mercy. And that heart of mercy will lead you in the direction to care for people that you don't see coming. You don't need to go out and check a box. You just need to be merciful and watch how he will move in your life. You know, it's kind of interesting. There's all kinds of things that go on in our lives. There will be projects that you will have to the last day you have breath, right? This Samaritan had stuff to do, but he took time out because of mercy. That was what was valuable. To live missional out means that we'll never get rid of our projects, but God will put in front of us people that need our love and our care. And if we attend to them, he will fill us up, and we will not be empty, and everything else will get done. That's the miracle. So what else does it look like? It looks like Jesus shares a story of a lost sheep. It looks like finding people for salvation's sake. Now, so I think about a missional out. Jesus shares a story. There was some people who came to Jesus, and they were mad at Jesus because Jesus was hanging out with sinners and tax collectors. Okay. So if you ever had people that look at you as a Christian because you're hanging out with people that you shouldn't be hanging out with, you don't have to be doing what they're doing, but hanging out with them could be helpful. And that's what Jesus tells them. He says to them, well, what shepherd who had 100 sheep, the normal number in a sheepfold, finds one that is lost, wouldn't go out and get it? So he shares the story. He says, here's a shepherd. He has 100 sheep. At the end of the day, he counts the sheep. They're all in the sheepfold. He would have had others helping him and working with him. He would have been the chief shepherd. And he counts them off, and there's 99. Oh, my goodness. How many of us go to bed at night when there's a lost sheep in our household, in our friend group, at our workplace, in our community? This shepherd could not lay down his head because one of his own was lost. That's what missional out looks like. It looks like such a passion to find those who are lost that you will do whatever it takes to find them. That's a missional out. Jesus said, I've come, Luke 19:10, to seek and save the lost. That's why he came. Now, every single day, there are people in our world who are lost and do not know it. That sheep, I'm sure, had no idea it was lost. That sheep was simply walking from one plot of grass to another plot of grass to another plot of grass, having the good life, whatever that meant. Might have stepped on some rocks and hurt his feet along the way, but he was just drifting. He was just out there. He's living it. He had no idea he was lost until the shepherd came, picked him up, and took him home. Think about that. Every day, there's people in your sphere who are standing on the edge of a cliff and are about to die and they have no idea. They're simply walking from one form of grass to another form of grass to another form of grass, and they don't see it coming. They have no idea there's a Father in heaven that loves them. They have no idea the consequences of the decisions they're making. And this is the hard part. That sheep would never be convinced that he's lost. I know that shepherd, I'm sure, did not kneel down to that sheep, look him in the eye, and say, "Do you realize how lost you were?" What did he do? In the story, it says he picked up the sheep, put it on his shoulder, and carried him home. Because it was home that he'd realize, whoa, this is good. Missional out is living every day thinking about who do we need to carry back to the sheepfold? What kind of energy? What's it going to take? And it's not a matter of trying to get them to be obedient. It's trying to get them to know how loving their Heavenly Father. Because the story says there's more rejoicing in heaven over one who comes home. That's missional out. That's what it looks like. Another Jesus shows a story in Matthew chapter 25. Put that reference in there as well for you. Beginning with verse 31. And it talks about missional out looking like a lifestyle of helping people. In fact, I'll share with you part of that story. It is in Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 31. It goes like this. It says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne." Listen, this is going to happen, right? Jesus is talking about it. "Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as the shepherd separates his sheep from the goats." Okay, so the goats and sheep are out grazing together, all in the same pasture, but in the night they put them in the sheepfold or separate it out. The shepherd does that. So this is a matter of God standing before all the nations of the earth. Listen, we as human beings made all the nations. God didn't. God just looks them all as his people, right? So the separation isn't this nation versus that nation, good nation, bad nation. It is people, right? It's people who belong to God. People of all the nations of the world, they belong to God. And this is what he says. "He will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those who are on the right," those are the sheep, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." That's what we get. As believers in Jesus Christ, there is a kingdom prepared. Hear that, a kingdom prepared for you that God has been working on from the beginning of time is going to be the most unbelievable thing you can ever think or imagine if we can just get through this life, right? It is coming. And it's incredible. We have a funeral this afternoon. We'll be talking about that kingdom agenda. Someone has gone home and the angels are celebrating. All right? Prepared for you. Inheritance, like you can't believe, is waiting for you. So these people are like, "Whoa, we didn't know all that." He says, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." And this is what I find interesting. "Then the righteous will answer him saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry?'" And the list goes on. We didn't see you in prison. We didn't see you unclothed. We didn't see any of that. And Jesus simply says, "Hey, when you did it for the least of these, you were doing it to me." Oh, that's what missional out looks like. It's so connected to Jesus, you don't even know you're doing good. You're just living Jesus in the world. It's not a checkbox. It's your life. Now, the alternate side is also interesting. He says, when he goes on a little bit in verse 41, "And he'll say to those on the left," those are the goats, "'Depart from me.'" You can read that. The bottom line is it didn't end well for them. "And he goes on to say, 'For I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was naked and you didn't clothe me.'" It's the opposite. But when he gets to the end of that, those that were on the left also say, "But Jesus, when did we see you like that?" They're surprised too. He says, "Well, whatever you didn't do to them, you didn't do for me. You never heard my voice. You never walked in my way. That defined your life." See, missional out is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle that starts with your love for God, your connection to his people, and living for him in the midst of the world. What's it look like? It looks like an overflowing cup of generosity. Jesus says, give and it will be given to you. The gift you will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together, making room for more. Running over, poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. There's this lifestyle of, man, I can't outgive God. I just pour out, you know. So what if I don't get all my chores done? Man, if I serve that person, God's going to do more over here than I can think or imagine because my heart's saying, help, just help. It looks like living in the power of the Spirit. In Acts 1:8, it says, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. Witness means that I got a testimony. And that testimony comes when the power of the Spirit's on you. Maybe you're here in the early part of 2025 going, I don't really ever feel the spiritual power of God. I want you to have that. Just get on your knees and say, God, would you fill me? I want to go back to that passionate spirituality that I'm so filled with you that what I see is you in your glory. Because what Jesus says is you will be filled with the Spirit and you will be my witnesses. It happens naturally. You don't have to work for it. It's not a checkbox. It just happens. So let me close out with this today. I want you to see the big picture of the Bible. And we'll be studying the Bible all year long. In all aspects. But I want you to understand the Bible in the context of your life and my life. And I know this can look kind of complex, but I want you to understand two key things. God has formed a covenant with you. A covenant means he formed a relationship. The old covenant was with Abraham in the Bible, where he said, you'll be my people and I will be your God. Follow me. I'll extend your reach like the stars of the heavens. That's a covenant, it's a relationship. So I want you to think on that whole first triangle, all of that is about how much God loves you, how he wants you to walk in relationship with you, how he's made a promise to you, how he says, I'll never leave you or forsake you, I'll be with you to the end of the age, I will give you spiritual gifts, I will empower you. All that is about relationship. It's about abiding. Jesus says in John 15, if you abide like the vine and the branch, if you abide with me, you will bear fruit. Don't, you cannot. Okay, it's all about covenant. It's all about the relationship. God started that relationship in the garden when he created Adam and Eve, not to be separate from him, but to walk in the garden with him at the end of the day, every single day, this relationship, this covenant, this love that he has for you. He longs for you. That's the heart of the Bible. But at the same time, God created everything. He's the king. Right? And he has a kingdom. And we talk about in the Bible this kingdom agenda. Even the church is Christ the King. We acknowledge that there is a kingdom. It is not fully in this world, but it is coming. And when we believe in Jesus, we are part of his kingdom. That's what we pray in the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done. You can't get away from that language. It's language of authority. It's language of power. It's language of sending us as people that are significant and important in the world, right? If he's the king and you believe in him, you are the princess and the prince. So if you look at that kingdom triangle on the bottom, you'll see that it's the king who gives authority. The king from his authority. Jesus says, all authority has been given to me in Matthew 28. Go therefore and make disciples. What do you do? It's a shifting of authority. He's saying, I give you the authority to live for me in the world. I give you authority to do miraculous things. I give you authority to speak in the kingdom agenda because I am the king, right? We belong to him. We understand that in our world when somebody's the boss and the boss gives you the authority to go do something. That's what we're talking about in the kingdom agenda. But you see where identity connects? See the arrow? The stronger your identity is tied into who God is, the more you feel your authority. And when your identity isn't signed into God, then you feel kind of weak to represent him. You know what work you need to do, right? So if you're ever feeling that, go back and dive deeper into the covenant. Understand who you are so you can live fully as he called you to be in his kingdom. But I want you to see the other part too, which is really important. Is how do we get from authority to power? It'd be ridiculous for any king to give authority and no power to give it to live it out, right? I mean, if you can kind of think of it as if a king's going to give you authority to go conquer a nation, he's going to send an army with you. That's what God's doing. When he gives you the authority to go accomplish his will, he's giving you a divine equipping. He's giving you spiritual gifts. He's giving you the power of the Holy Spirit. He's equipping you with everything you need to accomplish his will. But where does power come from? Look above it. Obedience. It says, teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. Jesus was the perfect obedient one. Jesus said, I don't do anything I don't see the Father doing. The reason Jesus could give up his life for your sins and my sins is because he was perfect and we are not. But because he was perfectly obedient, he had perfect power. He could raise the dead. He caused the lame to walk. He could heal the leprosy. He could do all these miraculous things. Why? Because he was complete in obedience and he was complete in power. We're incomplete in this world. But when we belong to him and we're living in that submission to his obedience, he's pumping in the power. He's equipping. And he's causing you and me to do miraculous things in the world. That's what he desires for you. That's why we're here. In 2025, we get to make a difference. Because we belong to him. In his covenant and his kingdom agenda. Good? Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, for all that you want us to understand and to know about who we are and who you are, open our hearts and minds to understand it more fully every day. Have us live in your grace and in your power. Help us to live in the fullness of our identity with you, that we can lock arms with others and live more in the purpose and design that you've created for us every single day. Father, it is a privilege to be your children. It's a privilege to come under your authority. It's a privilege to be filled with your power. We can literally make a difference in our world until you call us into the eternal kingdom. But it's your kingdom that wins, and we want to be a part of that. We love you. We thank you. We praise you for loving us all the way to the cross and calling us your own. In Jesus we pray. Amen.